Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast here in the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today we are talking real, honest to goodness, sort of basketball. Jay King.
It's almost
men
basketball.
In green uniforms were on a basketball court and talking today.
Yes, people were in their basketball jerseys and talking about basketball. And the season's almost there. So media day is always hectic. It's so hectic. It's just every single player. And it's after like a wave of nothingness for a month and a half. You just hear from everyone. And there's a million different storylines. And you can't possibly cover all of it the way it should be covered. But here we are trying to do that, trying to give you the people We're trying.
This is like a shock to the system. So we're going to do this a little slowly so we don't get the bends. We're going to, in stages, and talk about some of the bigger things today. So on tap for today, as you sit there driving in your car on your way to work or putting your headphones lineup, Isaiah Thomas on why he's the steps he's taken stronger and better this year. Al Horford made some very powerful comments. Something I noticed about Brad Stevens and his demeanor. Avery Bradley penning a Shakespearean letter to Kevin Garnett, apparently. And, of course, the impending retirement of our favorite Paul Pierce. That's the lineup. So before we get to that, I want to say thank you for subscribing. If you are subscribing on iTunes or however it is, thank you. If you haven't, please do and give us a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, search other Locked On shows, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy, Locked On whatever other team. Maybe you're a fan of other teams as well. You have a second or third favorite team. There is a Locked On podcast for that as well. Just search that, subscribe, get to it. And yeah, always 5-star ratings and comments and all of that stuff. Tell your friends about us. Okay, here we go. First of all, Jay, media day this year lasted for what, 12 hours? What?
It feels like the longest media day. It feels like more, man. I am so fried as we do this podcast after transcribing 3.5 hours worth of material and trying to figure out, sift through it and figure out what I should write about. It's tough because there's so many things. So Isaiah Thomas, obviously, he is one of their key guys and one of their most important guys. Sorry for that noise. That was my computer. Many apologies for that. But he's one of their most important guys. And he made some lifestyle changes this year to become, hopefully, a little better at basketball. He went to see a Harvard sleep doctor. That was really kind of cool. The doctor over at Harvard, he is a guy who has consulted with the Celtics before, but Isaiah going to those lengths and also cutting out fast food from his diet, he wants to take another step forward. And that's kind of the evolution a lot of players get to once they get like 27, 28. They realize they can't really play forever and they need to do something to maximize their careers and kind of get to a different level than they've been at so far. So I think that's something a lot of players learn around the stage he is at his career. But it's important for him to do that. And as he tries to go from you know, borderline all-star, which he was last year. And he was a deserving all-star, but borderline. He was barely on the team. He was one of the last guys picked to the team. So now he wants to become a perennial all-star. And he wants to take the Celtics out of the first round of the playoffs. And he wants to one day make them a championship team. So he's cut out the McDonald's. No more eating like Jay King. No more eating like John Corrales. None of that fast food crap.
Whoa. Don't lump me into your lifestyle, man.
Okay. No more eating like Jay King. No more 12 boxes at Taco Bell, which is something I used to do, is eat all 12 tacos in a 12 box in one sitting, which is so gross.
Wait. Word? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That used to be my order. I would get 12 soft tacos, no lettuce.
Okay,
I couldn't even do vegetables with lettuce on my Taco Bell.
I'm hitting the pause button on this podcast for a second. Let's just rewind here. 12 soft tacos. I thought I ate a lot of food, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's probably.
Is that the craziest fast food order? Like, is that the craziest thing you've eaten?
One time, my buddy and I decided we would have a McDonald's double cheeseburger eat off. And see how many double cheeseburgers we could eat in a row. And we were doing two at a time, and he went first, which was a huge advantage as it turned out. And after we both got through 12, and he went to order two more.
What?
And he could just see it on my face that I was done, man. Once he ordered those two, it was over. So I got 12, he got 14. And then he ordered an apple pie just to rub it in.
What?
Like, I'm gonna have this apple pie, and you can't eat another morsel. So he owned me there.
You ate 12 McDonald's double cheeseburgers?
Yep. That was when I was in my prime, my eating prime, I would say.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty impressive. Maybe the most impressive thing I've ever done. So, okay. I don't think Isaiah Thomas was eating that much.
We're gonna let that sit for a second and move on. But I am floored right now. Okay, so yes, Isaiah Thomas is definitely not eating like that, man.
But now he's eating vegetables, man. Now he's eating vegetables. No more of that fast food crap. And he wants to take that next step. It's really neat to see how committed. Talk about getting better and talk about being in the gym and talk about doing all this stuff. He studies Steve Nash to learn a one-footed floater. Like, he talks to Harvard professors about sleep. He goes out there and he hired a personal chef to make his meals this summer because he didn't want to eat any of that crap like I used to eat back in my prime. So that's important. And especially, I think, for a small guy, it's important because he doesn't have the benefit of aging into a different, like Jason Kidd, for example. He just learned a shot and he was always big. He was always strong. Small guys who get to the rim like Isaiah Thomas, that goes away quickly if you don't stay in tip top shape. And he's to really stay on top of his game for a few more years, I think. He is going to need to maximize everything because small guys, it goes quickly. It's tough to be 5'9 and get into the paint and create separation. And it's especially tough to do that when you get a little older. So he needs to stay in tip-top shape to have a chance of aging well and having a long prime, because that's what he wants to do. He says he wants to play until he's 40, which we'll see, but he loves basketball.
He wants to be MVP. So he says a lot of things, which is great. I love it. I love that ambition.
I
want to
be the MVP too, man.
Yeah, the MVP of eating double cheeseburgers.
I also want to be the MVP of the NBA one day.
That is not going to happen.
Maybe next year.
You could maybe get into like the hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July. You want to get into that Nathan's thing. Maybe, look, you've given the writing thing a good shot. It's okay. You're doing okay. But let's face it. You want to take that next step. Maybe I think our conversation today shows that you want to get into that eating thing. I get a contact with Joey Chestnut. Maybe he can kind of mentor you.
We
got a thing going on.
I'm sold. Shout out to Joey Chestnut. If you know him, hook me up. I need to get into the competitive eating scene.
That's where the money is, man. Competitive eating. All right. I'm done with that. So, a lot of things to say about Isaiah Thomas. First of all, I think that it's amazing to me that guys get to this point where they're not already doing this. They're not already eating well and sleeping well. You have nothing else to do but treat your body like a temple. So I get it at 22, 23, you're young, you're athletic, you've got a good body, you've got a good metabolism, you feel like you could eat crap and then still continue doing what you do because you've been eating this stuff and you've been pretty good. But I love that this is now the norm, that guys are being pushed towards this way. It just, we hear this story every year, every season, the beginning of every season. There's some guy on some team that says, you know what, I'm cutting out the fast food, I'm going to start eating healthy, and wow, I feel so much better. Like, no shit. What? All of a sudden, you're going to stop eating Big Macs, and you realize, like, oh, man, I can't believe I'm not eating this hormone-laden hockey puck is going to make me feel better? Wow. Like, it blows my mind that proper nutrition is not already a thing that exists for a guy that's been in the league this long. I can understand a rookie, you know, you're broke, you're, like I said, you're young, you're running.
NBA rookies are broke, man.
No. Well, NBA rookies from college, they were broke.
There you go.
Broke in college. You know, you come in with that same mindset. Like, yeah, now you're making a little bit of money. That just means you can go buy more McDonald's. Like, I get that. But after a few years, and especially nowadays with the strength and conditioning people, with all the nutritionists available, that they can't get through the thick skull that says, hey, eat better food and you will feel and play better. That just blows my mind. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm really happy that he's doing it. I'm happy that he has realized it. It's just something that I can't fathom that it lasts this long for so many players. The other thing is the sleep. And in general, people don't realize how important sleep is. Sleep is when your body recovers. Sleep is when muscles build and you are rejuvenated. And I know that NBA players, and I'm a night owl too, so I think because I've spent so much of my life playing basketball, you just get into that same habit. Your games are at 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. You're done at 11:30. You're starting to unwind at midnight, so you're not really going to sleep till 1 or 2 in the morning. But the Celtics, especially, and now we see with Isaiah Thomas individually, they're starting to embrace the need for more sleep. So morning sessions aren't really a thing anymore. Like when most teams were doing media day at 11:30, Celtics media day was at 2:45. They understand the importance of being able to sleep in, and it's not even sleeping in for these guys. You go to bed at 2, you wake up at 10, now you've got your solid 8 hours. You take your afternoon nap before a game. That's how it's supposed to be. I'm glad that teams are embracing this. I'm glad that players are embracing this. This is the type of healthy lifestyle, the type of life that you need to lead to be at your prime peak physical condition. So I think a guy like Brandon Bass was a great example for how you're supposed to live and eat as a basketball player. Your body is your means of existence. This is how you make your money. It's not just, you're not just eating and living. Your body is a tool now. So I just continue to be flabbergasted by how many guys don't think this way.
I think you could talk about sleep and nutrition forever, man.
I am a big believer in this, and partly because I'm getting older.
I could tell, man. That was a heartfelt, passionate speech about sleep and nutrition.
On a personal level, like, I do believe in that stuff. I try to eat well, you know, as much as I can. I go to farmers markets. I try to get organic foods. I believe in that clean, healthy eating as much as you can. I know that they're – I also embrace the cheat day. I embrace the pizza and beer day, but, like, you gotta treat your body well or else it's all going to fall apart. So
if you don't treat your body well, nobody else will.
Exactly, exactly. So I think it's amazing that Isaiah Thomas is doing that. That's going to be a big thing. Look, we've talked about Isaiah. Even things like recovering after games. When you play a game like he does and you fall and you take bumps and you take bruises and you're sore, getting the proper nutrition into your body immediately after a game, giving your body the nutrients that it needs to recover, the protein and carbohydrates that it needs to recover, and then sleeping and letting your body kind of regenerate what it's lost, that's going to extend a career, and that's going to do things that will show up in April and May, because just that recovery allows you to go out and play a higher level of basketball later in the season. So it's really, really important. I think that's going to be a major, major factor for Isaiah Thomas. So I'm glad that he talked about it. I'm glad that he's preaching it. And I really do honestly, sincerely hope that a lot of guys take that to heart. And hell, a lot of people take that to heart, because I think that that just kind of helps just in a general sense. Okay, let's move on from that, because I've said enough. Al Horford is actually a member of the Boston Celtics. We saw it. He's there. He's in uniform. We weren't dreaming it. This is a real thing that really happened.
Number 42. And I got some Vin Baker tweets when I posted a picture of Horford wearing the 42. Don't worry, guys. He is not Vin Baker.
Could there be a more opposite person wearing that number than Al Horford?
Probably not. Al Horford, you can trust that his Celtics career will go significantly better than Vin Baker's did. Let's just put it like that. He's going to be a huge, huge difference. Every single person you talk to just raves about him as a person. Obviously, we know, we've seen everything he does on the basketball court. He does so much that will help the Celtics. And like everybody, it just sounds like a broken record talking about him. I think maybe the best quote, I forget who said it today, but one of the Celtics said, "What doesn't Al Horford help our team with?"
I think it was Jarebko.
Yeah, I think it was Jarebko. He's like, "What doesn't Al Horford help our team with?" Well, yeah, good point.
Yeah, exactly.
Rebounding, and that's it. Rebounding, and that's it. But that, other than that, I mean, he is perfect fit. And what was interesting, I thought, about his comments, and this is the first time he's talked to the Boston media since his press conference when I was in Las Vegas for Summer League, actually. So I wasn't there.
And were half of the media corps.
Yeah,
that was like a lot of very sparsely attended thing.
A lot of us were gone for that one. But he's like, he is very high on the Celtics' future. And I think that's what really sold him. And obviously, you knew that. Like, he signed a maximum deal with the Celtics when other teams were out there interested in him. But to have a guy of his caliber think so highly of the Celtics, it means something. And it means that other guys are looking at the Celtics the same way. And I think that when he was in Atlanta, he knew, like, that team with Paul Millsap, who was getting a little older, Kyle Korver, who was even older, that team was kind of on the way down. And it probably peaked 2 years ago when it won 60 games and reached the Eastern Conference Finals, and it wasn't going to get any better than that. The Celtics, on the other hand, there's just so many possibilities. What if Jaylen Brown pans out? What if the next Nets pick pans out? What if Marcus Smart takes a leap, or Isaiah Thomas continues getting better, and Jay Crowder continues getting better? And like, there are so many different ways for the Celtics to improve on top of adding Al Horford that just made a huge difference to him. And I think that was really the difference when the Celtics sat down with him and pitched him on the future. He was like, you know what? This team's going in one direction and the Hawks are going in a different direction. So yeah, sign me up in Boston. And that's a big deal. I mean, we've talked about it before. Look around the Eastern Conference. Once LeBron James gets a little older, the Celtics are set up better than anyone to challenge. And obviously the Golden State looks pretty unbeatable. But if you can be close to get a little closer to Cleveland and then set yourself up to take over whenever LeBron has lost a little bit, then this is a good that would be a qualify as a good season. The progress is being made, and the Celtics should be a little bit better this year.
Yeah. And how much better is a little up for debate. I like seeing some of the non-Boston perspective, because I think some of us, myself, can tend to be a little overly positive sometimes because we get a little carried away. So it's nice to see other perspectives that may kind of temper the enthusiasm a little bit. However, I think that enthusiasm is merited, and I think that Al Horford is right about this future, that we in Boston have a team here that can make some noise, that can, within all reason, make the Eastern Conference Finals. If Boston went to the Eastern Conference Finals, it wouldn't be some shock. Like, that's a definite possibility. I'm not saying it's the probability, but I think if they made it, no one in the basketball world would be like, oh, wow, this run, this Cinderella run. That's something that they can do. But we all also know that they're not legitimately contenders. They're not in that same class as Cleveland and Golden State. And you know, who else you want to throw in there? Maybe the Clippers or...
Yeah, and look, there's no promise that they're ever going to get there. There's no promise they will take that next step or the step after that, whatever it is, to become a championship contender. But they have a strong enough chance that they sold Al Horford on it. And they have a strong enough chance to sell other guys on it. So Horford is a big deal. Somebody in the Celtics organization put it to me like this. If you finish in the top eight, which is getting home court in the first round and beating somebody in the first round, getting out of the first round of the playoffs for the first time since Brad Stevens started coaching the team, then you're one player away from really, really making some noise and being a contender. You are that one player away at that point. So that's the point where they are at right now, I think, where they're that one impact player away from being a serious threat. And that's, again, that there's no promise it ever happens, but they're close enough to dream.
They're in a hell of a position to get that player. And they're in a hell of a position to get that player in three different ways. They can get that player through the draft, they can get that player through a trade, or they can sign that player outright. That's why the Celtics' position is so great, because they have every possibility in play. And another thing that Al Horford talked about that I really loved was the history. And when he came in, he talked about being a rookie, and admitting, like, I'd come into Boston and look at all those banners and just kind of daydream a little bit. So I think Horford said basically all of the right things, which we should expect from Al Horford, because he's that type of person. He seems genuinely nice. I don't want to say is. I don't know him personally, but he just seems genuinely nice, a true professional that had a very nice things to say about the franchise, its history, its future. And so I think day one of the Al Horford in a Celtics uniform era was really, really encouraging and fun, and it makes me really excited.
He was struggling with the Snapchat, though, or the whatever he was doing to take selfie. He was really struggling with that phone, man. They gave it to him. And like he was trying to get, I think, Terry Rozier in the picture behind him, and he was struggling a little bit. So that is one of the few things Al Horford is not very good at, is taking selfies.
I don't mind that. I actually kind of like a guy that isn't so adept at social media. Maybe a guy that's not great at social media is not a bad thing at this point. Another thing that I noticed today, and Jay, I don't know if you saw this or feel this, maybe it's just me. I saw Brad Stevens talking, and I've heard Brad Stevens do some podcasts. And I don't know. I feel like now he is really, really comfortable with who he is and his role, his fit in the NBA, the fact that I don't know what it is. Maybe just the fact that it's just been a few years, and he's got this other extension here, so he knows that he's comfortable and set, and there's nothing looming. Not that there was, because he still had a few years anyway. But I don't know what it is. He just feels like a much more cool, confident kind of, like, he was more joking with people. He was. Just
Are you sure little... he's changed, man?
I don't know.
Brad
don't know.
Stevens is the most unchanging man I have ever met.
I feel like I know. It's not like a stark change. I feel like it's a like a subtle, just. I feel like I can see a little more comfort where he's just a little more willing to bust balls, just a tiny bit.
Are we talking about the same Brad Stevens?
Yes.
What part of that press conference made it seem like he was a little more ready to bust balls?
When he was on the Celtics live stream, he just felt like more comfortable and laid back, and he was joking around. I know. I felt like he was just a little more willing to just. Oh God, I wish I wrote this down, but he I don't know. I feel like he's just a little more willing to kind of take a little playful shot at either the person interviewing or maybe the subject. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I'm not convinced, man. He's the only person that Bill Simmons couldn't turn into a human on his podcast.
But see, I disagree. I disagree on that podcast. I think he did, like, he embraced that weaselly, like, I think he was just having fun with the weaseling out of answers. Like,
but he also still weaseled out of every answer.
But it became a game. Like,
it's always been a game, man. He's been a weasel. A weasel sounds bad.
I know what you
bad,
mean. That's
but...
not. It sounds bad, but we know. I love that he does it. It's Belichickian in a very kind of
He's like
fun, playful
like the
way.
Nice version of Belichick, like Belichick's like well-intentioned younger brother.
But I don't know. I could be wrong. I think it's just something to look for as he talks throughout the season. I just feel like Brad Stevens is. Loosening up a little bit. I don't know. I think he's just more comfortable in his own skin as far as being an NBA guy with the team that he has. I'm just going to have to watch for it as the season progresses and as he's talking and just point out examples, because I really do think that we know what Brad Stevens has been. And I think when we look at somebody like Greg Popovich, is so willing to bust balls. Like, that's he lives to bust balls, but he still doesn't say a lot. So I feel like Brad is slowly taking baby steps towards Popovich. He's not going to be Pop. Pop's a different personality, but I think he's just infusing a tiny little bit. I see it. I feel it. I think something's there.
I hope you're right, man. I hope he starts giving.
He's still going to give you some weaselly non-answers, but I feel like as the season progresses, that he's a little more comfortable being in the NBA, that I think he'll kind of shoot. Like, he might make if you ask a question that he doesn't like, I think he might, instead of just going off into his stock answer, he might give you a little ribbing. I think he might give you a little shot before he gets into his stock answer. Like, I think that's where he is.
He would never, man. He would be afraid of hurting someone's feelings.
No,
which is why he'd never do that. He is so guarded against hurting people's feelings that would be the last thing he would ever do. There would be no sarcasm. I don't think I've ever, I've heard him be sarcastic a little bit, but never about a person. Like Doc Rivers used to say some really sarcastic crap about right. Glenn Davis's weight or like some stuff that could be considered hurtful. Brad Stevens never, ever, ever gets into that because he is super, super afraid of saying the wrong thing. And that's one of his best qualities is that he is always, always, always saying the right thing or at least staying away from saying the wrong thing. But right. it doesn't make him – I'd be shocked if he turns over this new leaf you're claiming. But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll have to just keep an eye on it during the regular season. I'm hoping whatever. We'll see.
We've got 89 games to monitor this theory.
Two more topics. Let's get into Avery Bradley sitting in a darkened room lit by candlelight as the rain gently falls on the roof outside, trickling down the windows with a quill and an inkwell and parchment.
Yep.
Penning a letter to his friend, his mentor, Kevin Maurice Garnett.
I loved that. That story. That was perfect. Perfect Avery Bradley. Like, and maybe he just wrote a text or maybe he wrote an email.
Probably an email. Yeah.
But I feel like he actually wrote a handwritten letter to Kevin Garnett. And
do you think he has like stationery from the desk of Avery Bradley?
No, because this is probably the first time he's ever written a letter in his life. But it would be awesome if he hand wrote a letter to Kevin Garnett to thank him for everything that he meant to him. And that was cool. Like if you move someone to write you a letter thanking you for everything you did in your career, you've done a lot right.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley has always, always, always raved about every influence Kevin Garnett had on him, from taking him out to buy suits to giving him advice about money to the way he approached basketball. So Kevin Garnett, man, legendary as we knew, but now he has a letter, definitely a handwritten letter, no doubt a handwritten letter from Avery Bradley.
Yeah. It's amazing. You're right. I mean, the most I could ever inspire somebody to write is a cease and desist letter. So kudos to Kevin Garnett for having that sort of influence.
I would get like a text STFU.
Restraining order. But that's, yeah, I mean, look, everybody loves KG. Well, I mean, except for maybe Jose Calderon. But most people love KG.
And or at least respect him.
At least have, yes, that respect for him. But we know his teammates have the ultimate respect. And I think Avery Bradley really does look up to him. So that was nice. That was cool. And the story that you told about the vulgar autograph on the jersey that he got.
I hope he returned the autograph in a similar fashion to Kevin Garnett, like flipped it on him. Boom, here you go. That would be
a great little signature. You know, dearest Kevin, blah, 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 heartfelt letter, signed Avery Bradley.
Signed, expletive, 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 expletive,
expletive, expletive. Expletive. That, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I can't tell. I don't know if Avery Bradley could bring himself to do that, but, you know, maybe for KG he would make that exception. Okay. The show is about to end, and we have to end it on this note. Something we all knew was coming, and we weren't sure if it was coming last season or this season or what. Still sad that Paul Pierce this morning, or when you're listening yesterday morning, officially announced that this would be his final season in the NBA. 19th and final season, and just... You knew it was happening. You knew he had to end it soon. But whenever a guy like this makes that official announcement, you're just like, oh, man.
Yep.
Ugh. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I welled up a little bit. I was just like, because Paul Pierce, for a lot of Celtics fans now, Paul Pierce was the guy that got them hooked. A lot of younger Celtics fans, if you're in your 20s, your formative years, when you got hooked on the NBA, when you got hooked on the Celtics, it was Paul Pierce that was doing all of the scoring. Paul Pierce was the man. And even during the championship season, I mean, he was still the truth. He was still the captain. He got the final introduction in starting lineups. And him standing on top of that rickety table after the finals where they were holding it so he wouldn't fall off, pumping his fist and pumping that finals MVP trophy, that is, to me, the iconic moment of the finals. Like, him standing on that table with that MVP trophy in the air, to me, that meant more to me than any other moment during that game.
There you go. I normally hate the thought of a retirement season. Like, the whole, it's going to be like the tour. Like Kobe Bryant went off with this retirement tour, and everybody's honoring him, this and that. So I normally don't like when guys announce their retirement. I will say this, though, knowing that February 5th, 2017 is going to be Paul Pierce's last trip to TD Garden, that is going to make that game one absolute must-be-at game. Like, that is going to be the most electric, nutty crowd the Garden has seen in so long. It is going to be absolutely bananas. And later in that day, the Super Bowl, that's Super Bowl Sunday. So,
oh, Jesus,
it could be Paul Pierce says goodbye to the Celtics, and then Tom Brady throws for 9 touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
Yes, I am in on that scenario. Yeah, that game immediately becomes if you go to only one game this season, that becomes the most important game of the year.
It has to be. And the Clippers are good, but. But yeah, that doesn't matter. Absolutely. That doesn't matter at all. He could be playing for the Kings. He could be playing for the Sixers. He could be playing for the freaking Nets. It doesn't matter. Paul Pierce has one more game. That's crazy. He only has one more game left at TD Garden. But it is going to be bonkers. There were going to be a lot of tears that day. Maybe not by him. I bet he sheds one or a few.
I think he will.
But there are going to be a lot of crying people in the stands. Like, I can remember when he came back with the Nets, I think, for the first time as an opponent. And they gave the whole video tribute. And there was this lady who was breaking down. Like her husband had just been killed right in front of her. And nope, it was just Paul Pierce coming back to play basketball.
I think on that day, Doc Rivers actually starts Paul Pierce. You have to. You have to give him. In fact, if he starts Paul Pierce, I would say you introduce the Celtics first and then introduce Paul Pierce last and give him that one last moment at the Garden. I would be totally on board with that.
You don't want to just give him a tribute after the first quarter?
No. They've done the video tribute. You know, they've done it. And they can do it again. They can certainly do it again. But I think you give him one last introduction. You have to put him in the starting lineup.
What if they surprise him by retiring his number that night?
Whoa.
That day. Yep.
Whoa. That would be big. I mean, they're going to retire it anyway. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be really, although it would kind of ruin another moment for another day. So
yeah, I think the Celtics, I mean, that would be nice, but I think give him that moment for the game. Then you let him sign his one-day contract at the end of the season, retire a Celtic, and then you pick a game the following year and you do the Paul Pierce jersey retirement. Maybe on opening night you do the Paul Pierce jersey retirement or something and do it that way. But look, you can't go wrong. Whenever you want to retire his number, you can do it.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. But I think something special is in order. And it, of course, it depends on the game and the scenario and the standings. And, you know, maybe you start Paul Pierce and you call an immediate timeout and sub him out. I don't know, whatever it is. It's not like he sucks, so they can do whatever. But I want to give him that one last moment. I think one more introduction in front of the crowd for the starting lineups, I think, to hear Eddie Palladino give that, you know, that introduction would just be, he has to do it one more time. One more time.
I think they will, regardless of whether he starts or not.
Yeah. I don't know. This is where I get a little too sentimental with things.
You're going to get that moment, John, one way or another.
One way or another. So thank you to Paul Pierce for an amazing career. And we'll have an entire season to thank Paul Pierce. And we'll do, I'm sure, more than one Paul Pierce tribute as the season goes on. And hopefully he has games that are worthy of our remembering what a kind of career that he's had. I'd love to see him hit at least one more step back elbow jumper to win a game somewhere, somehow. But yeah. All right. Media day has come and gone. On Tuesday, the balls are thrown out there and the guys are going to go out there and run their drills, run their sprints, get their shots up, and training camp begins. Training camp begins. It's here. Basketball is back.
Woohoo! Oh, finally, baby.
Feels good.
Back,
feels so back good.
Back in business. I might have to get some Taco Bell to celebrate.
There you go. A couple of double cheeseburgers, couple dozen double cheeseburgers. If I eat a double cheeseburger right now, I might keel over and die. Like, I might just double over and just kill me.
I had three Saturday, man.
Oh, man. All right. So we're back. We're back in our daily grind. The Locked On Celtics podcast. Back Monday through Friday. So we'll be back tomorrow to talk about whatever comes out of the day one. And then maybe a couple of these other quotes from Media Day that we didn't get to today, because it'd be a 4-hour show if we got to everything, because Media Day lasted forever. So remember, if you are not a subscriber, please subscribe. Go to wherever it is you get your podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, tune in, subscribe, favorite it, give us 5 stars, send us a comment, follow us on Twitter, tweet us, use the hashtag RainandJays, and let us know what you think, if you got questions or comments, do all of that stuff. Until next time, this is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.